Old Jerusalem. In Old Jerusalem, we were there in the different stores, and I saw another preacher friend of mine. He was in the store, and he was looking at different things carved out of olive wood to bring home, and it actually was a Moses, about an 18-inch high Moses, probably about that wide, with his hand-carved, not machine-carved, but hand-carved with the Ten Commandments there and the staff. And it was there that he was dickering with them, and it started at $85, I guess, and the guy wouldn't come down, whatever, and so he just turned and left. I saw him leave, and I sort of had an interest in that Moses, the statue. I have an interest in Moses too, the Bible character. But I saw that the store owner sort of was trying to run him down as he went out in the streets, went out. So I saw, he's negotiable. And so I went in there, and I said, "So how much?" And he said, $85. And I said, "No, it's I'm not going to buy that." Well, whatever. But he went down to about, $70. He went down to, I think he got down to 60 or 55. 50, 55. And I said, "No." And he says, "Well, I've got a store. I said, "You have to sell that. I don't have to buy that." And so I talked with him a little more, and I said, "No, sorry." And so he says, "You come up a little. I'm coming down." And I said, I said 35 at the beginning. That's what I want, 35. And so he said, "I don't know." And so I said, "Okay, fine." And I turned around, and I started walking out. He followed behind me, grabbed me, cleaned the bank, says, "Okay, 35. You see, that was negotiable. Have your thought in your life, what is negotiable? What is non-negotiable? Let me ask you some questions. Is food negotiable in your life? I'm not saying what kind. I know vegetables is negotiable, all right? I understand that. But food, is it negotiable? No, got to have it. And there's so many things that we can go. Is this negotiable? Of course, we can go in our Christian lives. And is the way you get saved negotiable? No, that's truth. And we can ask this morning, really, is the Word of God negotiable? Is having a relationship with God negotiable? If you have answered no to that, it's non-negotiable, then another question comes along. Is the Word of God non-negotiable in your life? See, so many times we'll say, "I love the Lord. I want to serve the Lord." But then all the things in Scripture and different things that shows us what we need to be doing doesn't come about. For instance, we never open the truths of Scripture, never open the Bible, or read a copy of it on our phones or our computers. If it really is non-negotiable, then there should be a change in lives. Because the Word of God is non-negotiable. And our spiritual growth begins at salvation. And at that salvation, then we crave for the Word as newborn babes, as we learned last week. Where Scripture tells us in Matthew 4:4, Christ Himself says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Do you believe that? Is that truth negotiable? Are there limitations to that truth? It says, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, that's what you live by, not bread alone. You see, if bread is non-negotiable, would not God's word be non-negotiable? The psalmists of Psalm 119 is the blessed man of Psalm 1. The blessed man walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The blessed man doesn't stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But he delights in getting the counsel from the Word of God, his belief. He delights in standing in the way of the Word, his conduct, or his behavior. And he delights in sitting in the seat or conviction of the Word of God, of where which belongs in our hearts. You see, the reason this man is blessed is because he delights, his attitude manifests, the very action, a consistent meditation of God's Word. Thus, the consequence of that meditation of God's Word, the very consequence, he's like a flourishing tree planted by the rivers of water, resulting in prosperity and success. You see Psalm 119, verse 17, verse 23, verse 99, verse 97, that talks all about God's Word, is really an example, is a commentary of Psalm 1. It says, this is what the blessed man will do. Psalm 119 says he's done it. He is the blessed man of Psalm 1. For the Bible says, he says, I will meditate in thy precepts. I have respect unto thy ways. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day long. He's made a choice. He's realized that the Word of God is non-negotiable in his life, as he is an example. He is the very blessed man of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. With all this in mind, we must realize that Psalm 19 is that commentary. As he meditates on the Word day and night, it is non-negotiable. As Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt what? A command. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou shalt observe to do according to all that's written therein. Then thy way shall be prosperous. Then thy way shall be of success. You will be a flourishing tree planted by the rivers of water. I was mentioning with my wife this morning as we were talking about this truth. David, the writer here probably in Psalm 1, is the writer in Psalm 52. In the last couple of verses, he says in Psalm 52, and I think it's verse 8, he says that he is a green olive tree. You know what the context of him saying that is? When he wrote that, the very context in Isaiah, in Psalm 52 is when he was in getting Goliath's sword, bread for his friend, and he saw Doeg there, of whom he was running from Saul, and who Doeg went and told on David. It wasn't a high part in David's life, was it? And what did he say? I'm like a green olive tree. What was he saying? What we see with all that in mind, we realize he was saying, I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What should be non-negotiable in our lives? As you answer that question, turn with me to Psalm chapter 1 and look with me at verse number 3. And you'll see what a spiritual growing man looks like in verse number 3. As we look further into the context of the passage, you'll see the key to spiritual growth that's manifested in verses 1 and 2 along with Joshua 1:8. God has no plan or program by which you are to grow and develop as a believer apart from the Word of God. May I say that again? God has no plan or program by which you are to grow and develop as a believer apart from the Word of God. You can become, as busy as one man put it, a termite in your church and possibly with the same effect as a termite. But you won't grow by means of activity. You'll grow by meditating on the Word of God. That is, by going over it again and again in your thinking until it becomes part of your life. That's the happy man. That's the favored man. So how is spiritual growth manifested? We have it right here in verse number 3. And it says, and he shall be like a tree. The blessed man is one that depends on God and God's counsel in his word, depends on God's way, and really as we and who he belongs to. And really what we have here is we have in this verse, we have, along with other passages of Scripture, though, we have the Bible, we have belief, and we have behavior. And we know that belief bestows behavior. But we have the Bible here. And notice what it says here as we look at it. We see the very truth of how spiritual growth is manifested. It is, you are, he uses a metaphor, we're like a what? A tree. A tree. A wise man's likened to a tree in life. And notice the very picture. What is a tree picture? A tree pictures that it has a deep capacity that portrays stability and the capacity to withstand the storms of life. It's really the picture of mental, emotional, and spiritual stability, because it's saying a tree that's planted by. It pictures concept of growth and in time, that it takes time. It's a lifetime. True spiritual strength comes from long-term, established relationships with God and His Word. It also pictures ministry, where the tree brings forth fruit, it gives fruit, it gives shade and ministry to others. So look with me as we look here, the devotion to this wisdom. We see what it says is, he shall be planted by a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in the season. Notice the truth about he shall be planted. Who will be planted? The man that delighteth in the law of the Lord, and in the law, he meditates day and night. In other words, the result of meditating on God's word brings about the consequence of you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And guess who plants us? Did you know something? God's planted you. Believer, you've received Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. God's planted you right where you're at. Did you know that He planted David? And as a believer, as you practice the Word of God, as you practice delighting in the law of the Lord and meditating on the law of the Lord, as you do those things, you will flourish. And if you do those things, your tree will be planted and you'll see great success. Because that is the man that is planted by the rivers of water. That planting, a plant, this word planting is a verb that actually means to transplant in the Hebrew language. It's merely plant, to cause to take root, to become firmly established to the purpose of stability, growth, and eventually production. The word to transplant includes the idea of taking a plant out of one environment and placing it into another which is more conducive to production, growth, and stability. In other words, as he says he plants you, he saves you, he takes you, translates you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and he puts you there in a way you can establish and withstand it, because there's where the growth starts. Notice he says, blessed is the man that walketh. The word walketh there is the idea of stepping forward, growing. And the consequence of all that is that he's planted by the rivers of water, the streams. So if you look at those two verses, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates. So since he's delighting in the law of the Lord, what is that connecting? Well, the same thing, he's meditating. What is the connection in verse 3? It says, he shall be like a tree planted, a likeness, rivers of water. So the meditation and the rivers of the water are the same thing. It's the Word of God, as we see, delighting in the Word of God. There's always a connection, as we see. He's planted. We must personally respond to His plan. We must choose to live not in the counsel of the ungodly, but live by the streams of water, the Word of God's provision for learning it. A continual action, a daily time with the Lord and listening to the preaching and teaching of His words. You see, rivers of water, the streams of water. By application, God's provided the inspired Word and the canon of Scripture and gifted teachers of the Word. It is the believer's responsibility, it's our responsibility to respond to God's provision and to plant themselves regularly in a place that God expects us to be, because He's the one that's planted us. Plant us in a place where we are in good soil to grow. By the way, who's planting us? So automatically in salvation, do you have good soil? Did you know the soil's the same for all of us? But did you know that soil needs the watering, the streams of the rivers of water, the streams? We've planted some grass here, and I've tried to keep it moist because we have good soil there, and everything is there in the good soil as we spread around. And you see it starting to get some grass to it, some green, as we keep that soil moist so it can what? Grow. Did you know that you have the soil that God's planted you? And wherever He's planted you, if you delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on it, you'll see the success of verse 3. Because He plants you, and that's the consequences. You will be a tree, sturdy tree planted by the rivers of water. That means trials and tribulations. He's purposed that. That means the up and down times. But we see that it bringeth forth its fruit in its season. We realize there's time involved. And that when it's talking about that fruit, it's the very fruit of the Spirit, the character of Jesus Christ. It's the gifts of the Spirit that God gives us. And it's the witnessing and telling people about the great Savior. And He's preparing to bear fruit in His time as opportunity knocks. His leaf will not wither. It will be healthy plants and conditions. For it's the principle of living life independently of the details of life for your happiness. So whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. In other words, as one man said, the Hebrew there is prosper, succeed, to be profitable. The root means to accomplish satisfactorily what is intended. In other words, real prosperity results from the work of God in the life of one who meditates on the Word of God. It's not a blank check to be filled as we want. The man of blessedness prospers first because he always seeks to operate in the framework of God's will. He uses Scripture as a guide for how he does and what he does. He operates in the sphere of God's enablement, supply, and direction. This means that this does not mean that there's never adversity or failure. God often engineers failures as mirrors of reproof and instructions of growth. Sometimes God allows these things for other reasons, but by and large, people of the Word will gain the capacity to be wise and stable in areas of business, problems. So what's the point here? I want to sort of just have a sphere of it, an overview of it. I want us to look at what's the point here. We have the Bible. We have a man that has a relationship with God. And we mentioned last week that it's impossible for you to have a relationship with God without having a relationship with His Word. They're inseparable. You and I can say we love the Lord. But what does God's Word say about that loving of the Lord? If you love me, you'll what? keep my commandments. Think of this. Another rule again, as we were talking this morning. Put another word for commandments. A good word for commandments are rules. And it can be translated that way. Are rules. How many of you like rules? You know? Human nature does not like rules. That does not. Our flesh does not like those rules. Otherwise, God wouldn't have to give them if we all liked rules. As a naturaling, we do not like those rules. We don't like to be told not to do. I could come and tell you something. I could probably find something in it. Easy, come and tell you something that we're going to, I want you to do this, a rule to do this, and you're not going to do it. You're not going to like it. I could give you a soft rule. And you're going to say, I disagree with that. I don't like that. It's a rule. You can give a real hard, conservative, strong one. I don't like that. As nature, we don't like rules. There's no way that an unbeliever can love God's word and his commandments. Because there's no spirit in them to change them to what? Love rules. Now, as a believer, can you love rules? I hope so. Because it's, oh, how I love thy law, rules. If you love me, you'll keep my rules. And we don't like him. We don't like being told what to do. But yet, the Bible tells us that we need to have in order for us to have a relationship with God, we must have a relationship with the Bible. And it simply says, he is one, this blessed man, is one that grows by, first of all, delighting in the Word of God and then meditating on it. Actually, it goes this way. The Word of God is one, so he delights. And the whole idea is this. We have to crave for God's Word, don't we? Remember what we've been talking about the last couple of Sundays? Craving for God's Word. There's that delight. We have that whole idea of delight. And delighting wherever he's planted, the man is planted. He is meditating on the law of God, and he will prosper. But this word delighting is a word that's an emphasis on that which is the object. It's that whole idea of the delighting in God's Word. It's meant to be mindful, attentive to something. It means to feel great favor towards something. The word had an emphasis that the desire is caused in the subject by intrinsic qualities that are found in the object that's desired. This is the object, the law of the Lord. You see, revelation comes from God for the purpose of helping man to live in harmony with God. God's will. Religion is man's attempt to order his path and explain the world around him. Believers delight not just in knowing, but in doing. And the full attention, because his law, does he meditate day and night. So we have the Bible and we have belief. What is the line that connects that? We'll be teaching of the Word of God, teaching and the rules, the laws, the different things. We look at the Word of God of anything. But we have the Bible that brings that line. There's a connecting. What's the line between the Bible and behavior? Well, our behavior, our belief is our behavior. And what we see here is, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, the law of the Lord, and in that very law he meditates, and we shall observe to do that which written according to that in Joshua 1:8. So what is the connection? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he what? Meditates. You see the connection? Okay, this morning, you're going to leave here. We've strived to teach truth out of his word. You know what the big connection of that will change your behavior and your beliefs or keep your beliefs right is how you meditate on what's been taught. Sunday school lesson. You each had Sunday school lessons this morning that were here for Sunday school. And what are you doing? You are, for you to have that change, you need to meditate and keep that in our mind as you walk away. He says, but his delight, you want to be a blessed man, a favored man of God? His delight, he craves for it. And we learned last week how we can crave for it, the five different principles out of Peter. And here we're looking at the very idea that he craved. How do we continue to grow? As you crave, you delight in God's word. Then it says you've got to meditate on it. You've got to meditate on his word. That's the very point. In other words, we don't let the sermons and the teachings run away. How many of you have meat over in your house and you have a roast or whatever there and you forgot to turn it on? You have the meat there. It's there, but how many? And see, as you and I look, we realize that prospering can be measured by the water of the Word. Because we see the wonderful truth of meditation. You see, to meditate on God's Word is to discourse with ourselves concerning the great things contained in it. With close application of mind and fixedness of thought, we must have a constant regard to the Word of God as the rule of our actions and the spring of our comforts and have it in our thoughts night and day, Matthew Henry's commentary mentioned. You see, this needs to be a habitual in our lives. There's two words that are used for meditation in the Old Testament. The first one, the same words used here in Psalm 1:2 and Joshua 1:8. If we were to take all of the different places where this meditation is used, really, it has the idea of a sound, utterance. If you would take it and look, you see sometimes it's talking about a dove cooing, a murmuring, making a noise. So really what it came down to be, these two really is the idea of half the time it was used for sounds and half the time it was used for thinking, the first word. Half the time for sounds and thinking. The other word is one that has to do with conversation. Or I should say, communication. So you put those together. As you think on things, and you converse, communicate on those things, that's the whole idea. As I've mentioned to you before, you're putting that through in my study as far as listening to different preachers and looking at the different word, one man came up with a wonderful definition of that, which I've mentioned to you before, and that is a good definition of meditation is a mental conversation about the Bible and yourself. You're communicating the Bible with yourself to God. So we see that it's a mental conversation between me and the Scriptures, God's words. What did he say? Realizing that it always is the same of what he has always said, and what bearing does it have on me and my soil, as Dr. Mark Minnick mentioned. So let's try to just put this simple application in. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Okay? The blessed man, the favored man of God, doesn't get the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the way of sinners. His belief, his behavior, what he belongs to, the Word of God belongs to him. He doesn't do this. Instead, he delights in this. He delights in the opposite of that. And it says, his delight, his craving will be for the law of the Lord. And in that craving of the law of the Lord, in that very craving of the law of the Lord, he will have a mental conversation. What do you think that mental conversation also includes? In order for you to have a mental conversation, you have to what? Read it. Got to study it. Memorize it. Listen to it. That automatically comes with it. Now, you as a believer, there has to be a little bit of desire there for you to want to grow. You want to be that tree that's planted. God's planted you already. He saved you. He's planted you, and he's planted you by the rivers of water. Did you know that? But that tree is only going to be full and sturdy unless the Word of God continues to grow it. And the only way that's going to happen is by you and I having a mental conversation about God's Word. We delight in God's Word. We then have a mental conversation about God's Word with ourselves. Which means the whole idea of having a time with God to have a relationship with Him. Again, I reiterate, you and I cannot have a relationship with God without having a relationship to the Bible. You can't. Because it's the Word of God that's watering that tree. He's like a tree. But what is he? He's a man that delights, craves for it, the Word of God, and he meditates on it. He's occupied with the Word of God. He realizes the priority of his life, and what we do is our priority. What we see. And he says we do it day and night. Because the whole idea of its possession, the Word of God is a possession to those who discover it. It's a pleasure for those who seek it, a protection for those who believe it. It's a profit for those who obey it. So what do I do when I meditate on God's Word and I read God's Word? We need to meditate. Perhaps here's something that I've given to you before, but is there any sin to avoid? As I meditate on God's Word, is there any sin to avoid? Personal example, before I come before ever preaching or teaching or even studying, Lord, keep show me any sin in my life. We need to meditate on God's Word and see whether it's through that Word that there's some sin that I need to avoid. We need to meditate on that. That's only going to come by having a mental conversation about that. Okay. Practical application. This morning, my personal time, one of the verses, as Christ was baptized, a voice from heaven came and said, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." As you can see, I'm still thinking about it while I'm even speaking to you. I need to have a mental conversation about the Word of God myself. Okay, God, that voice from heaven, it came from heaven. The knowledge of that, it came from heaven. So the deity of Christ. But it came from heaven. And he says, "You are my Son, that I'm very well pleased." Our Heavenly Father pleased, Christ pleased His Heavenly Father. And what does He also say? What brought my mind to that mental conversation is, He also said what? Christ Himself said, "I always do those things that what? Please my Father." So I put the application, is there any sin in my life that I'm not pleasing you, Lord? Is my faith there? Is there any promise that I need to claim or victory to gain or a blessing to enjoy or something I haven't seen, a truth about God? Think of a blessing and joy. You know what? I can go throughout the day thinking, okay, Christ pleased His Heavenly Father. And another thought I got was Christ appeased the Father's wrath. He not only pleased God, but He pleased the Father's wrath. For whose sake? You. Only you. Take everyone else out of here. Only you. That's where you need to personalize it. Me. Pretty cool, huh? That's great love. So I need to make sure, since He does, and the Bible tells me also in 1 John that if you say that Christ abides in you, you ought to walk even as who walked? Christ walked. So now if I just go and I see that and I leave out and I don't ever think about it again, I don't have a mental conversation about His Word in my own life, what's going to happen? I'm not going to be that tree that's flourishing because I'm going about my own way and I'm not doing what's going to take it. Because when I start flourishing that way, I'm going to be able to go in my everyday activities. You're going to be able to go in your everyday activities and be able to apply that truth, and you'll flourish. The storms will come by and the tree will be, because it's planted by the rivers of water, it won't be blown away. And so we can go. And we can have that mental conversation to realize God was pleased with him. We see his deity. We realize that he pleased him. He always does those things that please the Father. I need to always do those things that please the Father. One great reason, he loved me so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that he and Jesus Christ appeased his heavenly Father's wrath for me because he loved me so much. It's an awful lot just to get out one little verse. As far as for me in my life, I can go and sit today because he was pleased. I think, is he pleased with me, the what I'm thinking about right now? I'm having a mental conversation with, you are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Well, am I not in Christ and I get everything in Christ? Am I not a beloved child of his? And I need to please him. Folks, if you want to be that tree planted by the rivers of water, because storms of life are going to come, trials and tribulations, mental thoughts, and you're going to put yourself as the only one that's ever come across that, but there's no temptation or trial that's not common to man. Sorry. Yeah. We're all there. Can't do that one unless we do not have a mental conversation with God's Word. Then we can. And he that doeth the good, he that knoweth the good and doeth not, to him it is sin. There are no exceptions here. The Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, is non-negotiable. And for it, since it is non-negotiable, you and I need to have mental conversation with him, realizing with that right attitude of delight and the right action of meditation, redirecting our thoughts, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that we pray. In fact, we pray that we might understand it as he illumines us. Did you know he promises to help illuminate and help you to understand as a believer who he is in his word? 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Do you know what he's saying? He's going to have you understand it. All you have to do is pray. The psalmist said 8 times in Psalm 119, make me understand, open mine eyes, give me understanding, I'll keep thy law. I shall observe it my whole heart. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. I'm thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. The righteousness of thy testimony is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall give. Let my cry come near before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. And he says in 2 Timothy 2:7, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And you know the New Testament word for meditation is consider. Have a mental conversation with the Word of God, and he'll help you understand it. To the point that he's revealed to us in his Word. There are different mysteries. But do you realize, folks, that Jesus Christ, remember how the disciples were sort of, well, about these parables? He says, no, they're not for them. The parables, this teaching, are not for them. What did he say the parables were for? He was teaching the widows when he was living on Christ. He said the parables were for them, the disciples, the believers. Did you know that he's given every one of us here a copy to the Word of God? And he tells us, blessed is the man that takes steps forward the right counsel. the right company, the right behaviors. And that very blessed man, that favored man of God, his delight, his craving will be for the Word of God. And because of that craving, he will have a mental conversation, a meditation of thinking, spending time in the Word of God and thinking upon God, and he will be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water and will prosper. Don't you want to prosper as a Christian? Then connect the dots. Meditate on God's Word. It's right there. Meditate. Have a mental conversation with God's Word and yourself. And have that relationship with the Bible. Next week, we'll go a little further on why is it. We know because he's will be like a tree planted. But next week, we'll look at why is it so important? Why does it need to be a priority? Why do we need to have a continual mental conversation day and night? Folks, this isn't just something to gloss over. This is for your success as a believer. This is for you pleasing your Heavenly Father. All our ages. You need to have a relationship with God. And once you're saved, He's planted you in that soil. So you need to be watering it. You need to be stepping forward. You need to be growing. And you cannot have a relationship with God unless you have a relationship with His Word and who He is. So this week, and the next week, and the next week, have a mental conversation with His Word. And that tree will continue to get sturdier, knowing that He's planted, whatever comes this week, He's planted you there as His child. He's planted you there. Good times, bad times, He's planted you there. But it's by the rivers, the water, that you'll be able to stand upright. The tree be strong. Won't you make sure that God's Word and the meditation of God's Word, won't you make sure it's non-negotiable in your life? Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word.